Ladies and gentlemen of WCLK, I'd like to definitely present a legend in his own time, Mr. Wayne Shorter. And Wayne, I'd like to welcome you to WCLK 91.9 FM. And of course, you'll be appearing April 5th at the Rialto Theater. And one of the things in reading your book, Mr. Shorter, that I found out, you've had a life of growth. And one of the questions I would really want to pose to you for the audience was that you've left a body of work covering jazz, opera, classical music. And I'd like to know, what effect do you think that's had on humanity?
Well, I think then the work itself has not had that kind of exposure to across these artificial boundaries that have been created over the last 100 years since the advent of radio. And I call it the hijacking method that with any invention, the hijackers try to make it their own and try to write history the way they want and sell what they want, market what they want, you know. So the body of work, not just mine, people like George Russell, Dizzy Gillespie, or Miles, not just people who write but play and everything, even that work has not penetrated. Well, since the advent of the internet and everything like that, it's starting to get through, starting to take effect in young people's lives and these next generations and all that. And they seem to be grasping this stuff without too much prompting, you know. They seem, whoever's getting it, they're getting it. They're getting it like seeing it. It's not just music. It's something that's telling them to be courageous, more noble in their daily life, more fearless. Get away from the comfort zones and courageous and taking chances and don't be afraid of the unknown.
Oh, yeah. I agree with you
so
on
I
that.
I tried to put it all in there.
You tried to put it all in there, did you, Wade?
Yeah.
I got another question for you. Your ability to draw on your artistic purpose has taken you beyond the sound of your instrument. You know, how would you teach that? Your artistic purpose takes you way beyond the instrument into your sound. How does a young person develop that?
Actually, let's see, Art Blakey used to, every now and then Art would say something, like we'd be out somewhere and some people are playing, kids are playing, young people, and they see Art in the club just as a part of an audience. And they come down to him during the intermission and ask him, Mr. Blakey, like he's a drummer, young drummer, Mr. Blakey, what do you think about my drumming, my musicianship? What do you think about it? And Art would say, I heard him say, you play the drums very well. You got a lot of technique. You get the audience going and all that stuff. You know, everybody, when you take the drum solo and all that stuff, then Art said, but where are you? And he was talking about his personality, his sound, his stories could tell. Even though he hasn't lived a whole, you know, experienced a whole lot of stuff. But when he said, when are you going to start the technique and all that and playing that something that sounds like jazz or sounds like improvisation, sounds like it. In other words, he's saying you can become an expert in that. Then he would end by saying you can't hide behind your instrument.
Mm.
And then he said, what do you do when you're not playing?
That's interesting.
Miles used to ask some of the guys in the band when I was with Miles. I don't know how Miles asked this question. Miles would ask Herbie or somebody, you know, on the day off, and like that, he'd say, what does Wayne do during the daytime? I just laughed.
Repeat that again. Repeat it again, Wayne. You did it so well.
So, but then Art was like that too. Art said, you can't hide behind them drums. Well, he said, you can't hide behind your instrument. So that was, you know, Art would say, Sid Catlett had his sound. He had his thing. Philly Joe Jones had his thing. Elvin Jones had his thing. Max Roach. They said, aim for having your stories to tell. Let go. I have a tape of Charlie Parker talking, you know. Charlie Parker giving a music lesson.
Oh, really?
And at the end of it, he's talking to this young guy, and the young boy says, Mr. Parker, you mean I have to learn all these scales and and all that stuff? I mean, you have to memorize all that stuff? You know, in the book, he said, Charlie Parker said, yes, and when you finish memorizing all that stuff, forget it. And so another guy asked, an interview asked Charlie Parker, what do you think about, he said, Mr. Parker, what do you do, what do you think about when you're playing? And he said, mountains, valleys, streams, of course, birds, and all kinds of stuff. And, so, and here's another one. Tony Williams was asked, Tony Williams was asked, what do you think about when you're playing the drums, when you're playing with Miles, what do you think of, what's going in your head? And Tony said, if I could tell you that, I wouldn't have to play. I don't have to
play. Wayne, so, there's a comedic side to you.
but there's so much nice stuff. You know, it's not being facetious or looking at.
No.
But it's like, what tickles you? My mother used to say that word a lot. She said, see, I was tickled to death when she saw a good movie. What kind of tickles you? Now I remember, I know what she was talking about. She said, I was tickled. That means she got a lot of information, too, when she was tickled about something. Because she didn't say that often, you know.
Yeah, my mother said the same thing.
And when I saw she was tickled about, it was about something somebody said or saw in a movie that was not funny at all. Like slapstick, no. It was something like deadpan. I put a deadpan face. When I'm talking to kids about how you get your own sound, what you got to work for, I talk about exactly what I'm talking about now. And I like, what do you do and do today? What do you read? Some kid told me, I read automobile mechanic magazines and science magazine or something like that. You know, very few of them that I talk with talk about reading novels, you know, reading a lot of stuff that had a lot of imagination. I'm staying away from the word sci-fi. Because a lot of people think, you know, sci-fi is something out there. It has nothing to do with the community. Trillions of millions of miles away in the galaxy has nothing to do with the immediate neighborhood and the community. You know, Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Oh, yeah. He comes on TV. Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, on Sunday.
Talks about the universe, yes.
Yeah, yeah. That he was asked that question from a lady in an audience when he gave a lecture or just a talk, you know. She said, why are you talking about all that stuff? And I said, we need to be concerned with the neighborhood right here. He walked right down to her, and he looked her up and down, not condescendingly, he appraisingly. And he looked at her shoes, her footwear, and he told her, you know, there's elements in some of these new footwear that are made of the same stuff that's on Rover on Mars. And the lens in your eyeglasses may be a part thing from the newest stuff that even the Hubble telescope doesn't, have. It's all kinds of stuff. It's if we can get a lot of some of this stuff declassified, our education system, the universe is the neighborhood.
that's very profound.
Education-wise, we start looking at each other differently.
Mm. That's the same way that you relate to young people in terms of your music.
Yeah, yeah. The audiences that we've been having that come now, they're all young. I've been looking for these gray hairs. I see a few. I mean, gray hair is all right, you know, but there's quite a few. There's a mixture of that in Europe. And now, recently in the United States, I see a lot of young people. And when we've been playing, we haven't played that much in the United States, but lately it's like been really sold out or something like that, and nobody leaves, you know, because the thing like, oh, this is too far out or something like that, you know what I mean? They stay, and then they're like absorbing, you know, what's going on, what the guys are doing, you know?
Yeah, but there's great respect for your body of work, like I had mentioned earlier. Also, in reading the book about you, Wayne, one of the things that I've noticed, the quote, how do you express eternity in your compositions? That was very profound. I had never heard that said before. You're able to express eternity in your compositions.
Yeah, that's always a challenge, to express that, trying to break all of the lines of what's marketable and what's like an easy access sounding stuff, or to be very simple and then complex at the same time. I call it being simply complex.
Mm.
It's like someone, someone asked a question. No, I'm not. I'll go into that later. How about that?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. You know, your career has spanned over 40 years, and you've continued to grow. How has Nichiren Buddhism affected the way you play and communicate with the audience?
Well, you know, one thing I always pay attention to when the president, Nichiren Daishonin, or SGI, Soka Gakkai International, which is called SGI, Soka Gakkai International, the president of this organization talks about reading Alexander Dumas, reading Victor Hugo, reading Leo Tolstoy, you know, reading, he's always talking about it's good to read all kinds of stuff, you know, like that. And it says some of the people who practice this, like Buddhism, kind of taken aback when he's talking about books written by people who never practiced Buddhism. The effect that I get from this practice is to reach out to all the information that exists in the world, whatever it is, in a very unique sense. Everything, it is said that everything that this Buddhism is speaking about, inherent in the world, the essence of Buddhism resides in the world in its dormant stages. We trigger this awakening, what I call the sleeping baby, the little Buddha babies, which sleeps in every human being and in everything.
Is this
or the little Buddha baby, which is all the way portal to enlightenment, or that path, I want to go on that path of enlightenment, that trail, at least walked on trail.
The least walk on trail. Is that
the least trail trod upon?
is that one of the reasons that prompted you to be one of the founding members of the International Committee of Artists for Peace?
Oh, yeah. We all went to Japan one time to commemorate Hiroshima and Nagasaki, the ending of World War II in Japan. We did a show on stage with myself, Herbie Hancock, Carlos Santana. Carlos Santana is one. He's one of his signature is a board of members or directors of just called ICAP, International.
International Committee of Artists for Peace.
Yeah, International Committee of Artists for Peace.
Right.
I stopped that committee because we were actually thinking about using the word community instead of committee, but we stayed with committee. That's why I kind of fumbled. I kind of hesitated to say committee right away and said, say community, but we're staying with the word committee. And when we did this tour in Japan, being that Carlos does not have to practice Buddhism, but he is supporting what we do. So we had a name. We wanted a name to use because we went to Nagasaki, Hiroshima, and somewhere else and all that. Carlos with his whole band, myself, Herbie Hancock. So we used a name which we could extend to the audience. The name was Emissaries of Peace. Mm. Emissaries of Peace. And when the audience came in at the door, they were all handed a card saying that we are all emissaries of peace.
Mm.
I like that open door policy and this philosophy. Some people like to call it religion, but Ron Glass was talking at a meeting at my house. You know Ron Glass, the actor?
Yes.
Yeah. For people who don't know, he was a serious detective comedy called Barney Miller.
Barney Miller, right.
Yeah. And someone asked him the question, is this Buddhism religion or philosophy? And he said, it's a philosophy that I practice religiously.
Very well put.
For people, this is not a lecture or anything like that, or but for the audience thing. But it's I always say that we exist in this world, and to me, I'm discovering that life, to me, life is the ultimate adventure, and I'm not mistaking the word ultimate for the end, beyond the end.
Beyond the end, there is no end. There's only the,
yeah.
There is no one. I want to thank you, Wayne, for taking the time out and to grace the audience of WCLK, and not only that, for explaining, you know, some of the great things that you believe in, especially to students and to the audience. And we look forward to seeing you April 5th. I'm gonna come make sure we come backstage and see you if they give me some backstage passes, because I've got these two young gentlemen here that have really worked hard to make sure that I had a chance to record you. So I'll try my best to talk to Leslie and see what we can come up with.
Oh yeah, I'll see y'all backstage.
All right then. Thank you so much, and I appreciate it. Now stay in touch, but I'll see you April 5th, and I want you to sign the book too, because I've got the book Footprints.
Okay. All right.
Take care now, and we look forward to seeing you. Okay.
Okay. I see you all down there.
All right then. All right.
Over there.
Over there.
All right.
All right then. Peace.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.